All right, it's 5:56 here on the Hard Line. We got another hour left before we send you off into the evening. Dan McDowell joins us from the Dragon Den.
How's your bracket, Dan?
Liberty looks like it might bust it.
Yeah, you don't sleep on Liberty.
I got Oak State at least going to the Final Four at the minimum.
Clearly.
Arlington Bowie's own Cade Cunningham, thought to be the 1-1 in this summer's draft.
That'd be a nice feather in the cap of old Liberty. Take down the 1-1.
Cade Cunningham, spelled with a C or K?
C.
Let's see.
Oh. I swear.
It never ends.
It's incredible.
It never ends.
And yes, to all the people asking, including Dave Lane, who also would like the answer to this question. Look, I swear every time that I see a Liberty jersey and I hear they're going to finally redo them because they're so bad, they do redo them and they get worse. Since I went to school there, they can't design a jersey that agrees with my eyes, which told me I'm definitely out of the demo now, but
maybe you
their
should
jerseys are worse every year.
Maybe you should apply as their fashion coordinator.
No, don't hire me, but I definitely know what a good jersey looks like and a bad one, and their jerseys always look like somebody won a contest or it's like a sports uniform from a bad movie or a TV series or something. They're just not good. They're bad colors, bad logo, bad everything.
All right, spitballing here. But how about on the front, instead of saying Liberty
Distance,
it's Jesus in a tank top with a thumbs up, spinning a ball on the right hand, thumbs up left.
I have a better idea.
Go on.
A little silhouette.
Also
of
distance.
Jerry Falwell sitting in the chair in the corner.
Yeah, he's in the corner.
Jersey.
I think they're trying to distance from him way more than Jesus.
That's a mistake.
Well, I was worried what their decision was going to be a couple years ago, but they opted for Jesus, which is good.
So is this your new segment, Fashion Police?
No.
It stole my look?
No, it is not. So I wanted to play a piece of audio for you guys. It's a couple minutes long that I listen to on my way to Big Bend. When I'm not listening to The Ticket, I am occasionally Podcast Guy. And Podcast Guy has discovered a podcast that I really love, thanks to Julie Davidson. Even though her and I don't talk very much.
You should talk more.
Yet.
It would help me out.
But it's a podcast called Smartless. Do you know about this, Dan?
No.
I think you would love it, Dan.
You would love it. It's awesome.
Smartless?
Smartless.
L-E-S-S?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. They're just saying they're not smart. Like maybe having a show called The Dumb Zone, something like that. It's
all right.
It's self-effacing, I suppose. But it's hosted by several of my favorites, Will Arnett and Jason Bateman. And Sean Hayes,
okay.
The dude from Will and Grace.
You told me about one of these, so I have listened to this in the past.
Okay. It's great because Will Arnett and Jason Bateman just completely bust on each other the whole time. And sometimes they're talking and they forget they have a guest on. And
I'm so glad they're really friends.
I know, right?
After Arrested Development, yeah.
Absolutely.
And then nobody knows who the guest is. It's a surprise each week.
One guy gets a guest, the other two are, it's a surprise to them.
Right. It's like, hey, it's Paul McCartney. Oh, my God.
Right. And it's really cool. So, I don't know, once a week they do it. But this week, guys, it was Clooney.
Clunes.
And I forget who got, I think Will Arnett got Clooney. And so here is George Clooney talking with them. And it quickly turned to something I didn't know that you guys might be well aware of because I know you're both friends with Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that Clooney's pretty well known in the community of the Hollywood for just pranking his fellow actors constantly.
Yes.
But they're never short game pranks. They are long game pranks that could go on for years and years, and they just...
It's the Hawkeye style.
Yes. Yes. And so, for instance, one of them that he told that he was asked to retell, he's not saying, hey, can I tell you how funny I am? But Will Arnett was walking him into these stories. And apparently one time he found first of all, did you know he was roommates with Richard Kind? And do you know who Richard Kind is?
Dan, you know exactly who Richard Kind is.
He's definitely a guy you would know if you saw him.
He's on Curb Your Enthusiasm. among other things, and you can do a quick search of him.
Spin City, he was that guy.
Yeah. You know him if you saw
you'll
him.
You'll see his face and be like, oh, my God.
He's got a real rubbery face.
Yeah.
Do you know Dan?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
And the fact that...
Mostly from Curb, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
And the fact that this guy is friends with Clooney, and not only friends, but
they
beyond.
Live together, yeah. And he was also best man at Richard's wedding.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes.
So you only thought that Clunes hung out with super handsome friends?
Yeah.
Well, Richard Kind, I mean,
hot friends.
Kind of handsome, I suppose.
But funny.
Anyway, so he found a painting in the trash. And so he dug it out of the trash, Clooney did. And then told Richard that he was getting into painting. And so when Richard would come around, he would have like an easel out and some painting and stuff like this. So he found this painting in the trash, pulled it out, and then unframed it and put it on the easel like he was working on it, and then signed his name on it. And for Richard's 40th birthday, he presented Richard this special, special painting that George made just for him. So now Richard has it hanging in his house for years.
The pressure that he has to hang it?
Yes.
Prominently, he can't hang it.
So it's hanging prominently in his house for years, and finally he does reveal that he pulled that painting out of the trash and gave it to him.
That's great.
It's a special 40th birthday present. And so they keep going that apparently Clooney really loved just making Richard's world miserable with these pranks that might have not had any payoff to anybody, except maybe years later he would let Richard know that, hey, by the way, I was behind that the whole time. So that leads you into this piece of audio that I was laughing hysterically with my earbuds in while driving, and my family completely ignoring me, doing their own thing with their own earbuds.
Right.
But I really thought somebody needs to hear this gold, and here it is. George Clooney on Smartless. Here it is. The guy is hilarious.
I was in the big knife. I killed.
But you told a great story when you guys were roommates. Would you please bore these guys?
Oh, my God, I do.
Please tell the
story
about the cat.
Well, you have to understand, we were sharing. I was living in his apartment. Got through a bad breakup, and I was living in his apartment, and I was an unemployed actor. He was doing the Carol Burnett show, the remake of the Carol Burnett show. And I watched Jeopardy, and you know, there'd be that, you know, Richard loves, he thinks he's a genius at Jeopardy too, as you can imagine. And so I would watch the East Coast feed, and then he would come home, and then I would just know all the answers for the West Coast feed. And he thought, he's still to this day, until he hears this, will have thought that I was the greatest Jeopardy player in the history of Jeopardy.
That's fantastic.
And it's all horse. That's Richard, if you're listening, you.
That's great.
And I would be home, and I had nothing to do, and he had this little tiny kitten that he would sleep with on his chest, and he called it Kitty. And, and he'd keep it in the apartment because we're in Hollywood, you know, over on Hayworth. And he was working, and I'm waiting for an audition, and I go into the bathroom, and there's a kitty litter box next to the toilet, and it's got cat in it, and I scoop it up, and I flush it down the toilet. I go in, I'm watching Jeopardy, I think, and Richard comes home, and he goes to the bathroom. He comes out, and he goes, my little kitty has not taken a in, I think, 3 days. And I don't say anything. I don't know why. I just don't say anything. I just am like, ah. And the next day, the cat takes a I flush it down the toilet. Richard checks. And it goes on for like 3 or 4 or 5 days.
Meanwhile, you're just trying to be a good roommate, right?
I'm just trying to be a friend at this point, you know.
Yeah.
And then he takes the cat to the vet, and they give him this like kitty Metamucil, you know, to clean your colon. You don't understand
sure,
this, Jamie.
Sure.
And so now this little kitten is shitting like 15 times a day, and I'm scooping. I got nothing to do, right? I'm reading like Hardcastle and McCormick auditions, you know, and I've got nothing else to do. And so I'm flushing. Richard's checking. I don't know. He flips a cat on his back. And he's like, feel his stomach. Does it feel tight to you? That feels kind of tight to me. Again, I have no idea why. It's just funny. And then I scoop up some cat. I don't know, after a couple of weeks. And then the light bulb, you know, goes off. And I realize what I must do, which is take a in the cat box. Now, there is this moment, Sean.
Brilliant.
When I'm squatted down over a cat box, where I'm going, really?
Yeah. Mom and Dad were right. I should have been a lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the moment that it occurs to you.
Oh, yeah. You're just like going, well. It's funny. It's good. I'm not sure it's how I want to be remembered, but
what
it's
did he
good.
Do? What was the reaction?
So I went, and I went on watching Jeopardy. Richard comes home. We're talking for a minute. He goes in the bathroom. He's in there for like a minute, and I don't hear anything. And then all of a sudden I hear, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Get it. And he comes running out, and he goes, you're not going to believe. You have to come see this. The cat is like 6 inches long. He's a tiny cat.
So, kitty.
Everything bad about it. And literally, I come in, and I just, tears coming down my eyes. I'm laughing to him. And slowly, he figures it out. And over a whole, it's this long thing where he realizes that I've been shoveling the cat out. And he gets madder and madder and madder. And finally, he's like, I understand humor. Defecation doesn't make me laugh. He just screams at me.
So there's the George Clooney cat box story.
That is so great.
Bearing the lead at the beginning of that piece of audio, Clooney mentioned that he had been going through a bad breakup.
Yeah.
At what point in his life did he ever go through a bad breakup? And how long did it last? 8 seconds?
Unemployed actor, man. Before he got on Roseanne, he was so nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but still hot.
Yeah.
But still, unemployed. It doesn't matter. You don't have a job. Chicks aren't like, oh, sweet, an unemployed actor. Like, they're everywhere. Nobody wanted to date him.
Good point.
Could you imagine?
No.
Squatting over a cat.
Just to punctuate the gag. Like, that's the ender right there, man. Oh, my God. And how much you would
how huge it was.
Yeah. Crying as the dude is in there going, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He finally wins.
This is like 5 days of backup. He's the size of a Volkswagen.
Six-inch cat. With a full-grown man.
He's so proud of the cat. Oh, you did it. Oh, good for you.
You got to come look at this, is what he said.
You must feel so much better.
There it is, boys.
That's great.
So good.
Dan, thank you very much for joining Jub's Fun Zone, or whatever we call it.
Thanks for having me, allies.
Where are you going?
Yes.
Got a big night?
What are you doing?
Your mom.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Well.
Well, he's got one left, so that does count.
What's
he
on
to be doing that?
What's on Community Quick Hits?
Your biological mom.
Yeah. another reason why this city sucks.